the name of the values that keep you alive, do not let your vision of man be distorted by the ugly, the cowardly, the mindless, and those who have never achieved his title. Do not lose your knowledge that man's proper estate is an upright posture, an intransigent mind, and a step that travels unlimited roads. Do not let your fire go out, sparked by replacing the spark in the hope the swamps of the approximate are not quite, the not yet, the not at all. The world you desired can be won. It exists. It is real. It is possible. It's yours.
Hey, everyone. Thanks again for tuning back into the Crypto Economy Podcast. We're going to jump right back into part two of our interview with Nick Agar, the founder of AxieCoin. Thanks so much.
Ease of use. I know you guys even have a physical card that people can use to pay for things.
Yeah, 100%. And that's really, you know, what we want people doing as well, right? It's like, again, this, you should be utilizing this, you know, as your preferred currency, as money. And because you're going to get so much more value out of it.
Yeah, absolutely. So speaking of the value you can get out of it, I think it's probably time we touch on the pretty massive ecosystem that you guys are building out. I know you have over sort of 17 software products and apps that you're starting to roll out or have rolled out already. Could you maybe just touch on some of those and why you're building it and what they do and how they'll enhance the Axie ecosystem for your members?
Well, again, it's all about usage and as well as approachability, accessibility, you know, driving that velocity to play up those economics of the reduction of supply, the increasing in the reserve happening simultaneously. So with each thing that is brought to market, it that's exactly what it does. So we've talked about the bank as one of the, we'll call it, you know, businesses, applications, platforms, but there's so much more beyond that. You know, we have this NFT marketplace, but the NFT marketplace is also very different in the sense that with Axie, the fees are being burned, again, providing more value. And this is where the enhancement of purchasing power gets played up in the sense that even if it doesn't sell well within the system, you know, for whatever, let's say I create an NFT, but now I'm getting more value out of other people creating NFTs. Right. Because again, the playing up of the economics, right? I'm actually getting more value of people using the bank and then looking at all the other things where, well, there's also a decentralized exchange, which has all of these features and functionality where as well, what's going to happen? There's going to be coin burning with that. That's where the fees go. So it's actually enhancing holdings. So all this decentralized activity that's happening in our system, like imagine having this bank account where your holdings are actually increasing off activity that has nothing to do with you. It's totally unrelated, completely decentralized, right?
Yeah.
And this is, let's say, one of what makes the decentralized exchange more favorable. Then we have a browser where now instead of with Chrome, right, they're taking all of our data, and we'll speak about, you know, the integration with UBI, I'm sure as well. But you're getting more value out of it, right? I'm now surfing the web, again, doing the same thing I would normally do, but I'm getting all these rewards and benefits. And the difference with Axie, remember, is that it's not closed loop. Take it into the real world, right? Transferred across this vast ecosystem, right? With chat capability, conferencing capability, with file storage, file transfer, and file sharing, right? It's with video streaming, audio streaming, all of these different things that are there, encrypted email, knowing that security is so important for us as well. And it goes even beyond that with our telecommunications. We have our own encrypted phone. And this gives people a greater level of privacy and security than they would be receiving now. Because with this phone, everything is encrypted. And the benefit as well is, right, you're going to be getting all of those rewards and benefits from all these different applications, plus the network with the mining.
That's super exciting, yeah.
So again, Axie is all about not changing behavior, but providing more value. So we're still using a phone, but now my phone is maybe paying for itself through the system, right? Because I'm getting all these vast rewards from using all these apps, you having the mining going on in the background, and so on. So it's really with everything we're bringing to market, it's never really about changing behavior, ever, right? We're knowing that that would create its own difficult barrier for Axie. It's actually making it as approachable and accessible as possible by offering all of these services and different applications for things they're already doing.
That makes perfect sense. So, you know, a little bit of, I mean, you've talked a lot about the token already, but I was just wondering how you sort of thought through the tokenomics of the whole ecosystem, how you decided on, you know, interest rates, you know, what mining rewards might look like, you know, how do you kind of think through how all of these pieces fit together and how do you decide on what ultimately becomes sort of the law of the land?
Well, it's really just based on mathematics, right? And then playing up that economic design. So knowing that there was going to be a limited supply from the start, right? Because we also want to stand in contrast to, you know, the other projects that are really playing off a unlimited supply.
Yeah.
And this is the value of those mining rewards, because and also why there's so much more potential value today, in the sense that because of the reduction of supply and the scarcity of the coin itself, right, which that could change value, the actual rewards, you know, simple, let's say with mining and having that takes place, right? Mm-hmm. It's the same thing with Bitcoin, you know, in a similar way where they go through a halving event, mm-hmm. right? With this. So it's almost working in a form of a regression model on the mining side. And it's the same thing with the interest rate, because as we know, with currencies, it's all about the relative value. So if there is, let's say, a potential for change in relative value of Axie compared to, let's say, USD, which is, you know, still to this day how pretty much everything is measured, then that would actually change the figures as well. So although the actual percentages never change, right? There's still always that value, the higher interest that people will be getting, whether it's through the staking or farming and so on within the DEX or at the bank, there's always that value. But then there is the potential for, you know, even greater value due to this constant decrease in supply of the coin, where things could eventually become fractionalized pretty significantly because of the potential velocity in the system. But again, that asset supporting structure is constantly increasing, especially if there's the velocity behind it. So it's exciting to think about, you know, as all of these different platforms and applications and businesses and all the partners that we're working with come, you know, to the forefront and all, let's say, now fully functioning within this system, how much faster it's going to go. And it really is, you know, somewhat similar to like a perpetual motion machine in the sense that it won't be constant, though. It actually could just be increasing velocity on an ongoing basis. So it's actually, when you talk about the token economics, it's it's very exciting for myself and our team just to see how that's going to play itself out over time.
Yeah, I'm super excited to watch it play out too. I love sort of all of the thinking that's gone into it, and I think it's all set up in a way that's, you know, going to bring out about some success. When you talk about, you know, the Axia reserve, you know, what exactly is the reserve when you talk about that?
Well, the reserve is essentially what is being tokenized in the system. So if you, let's say, had Bitcoin, or you, let's say, had US dollars, or because Axia coin is a currency, right? It's a, and so, or even potentially if you had gold or something of that sort, that's being tokenized and it's being converted into Axia. And so that, because it's very different, right? In, let's say, other projects where they may be taking in capital and utilizing that to finance their project.
Yeah.
Whereas here, if you're participating with Axia, it literally is just a simple conversion, right? Whatever's being converted to system, that builds up the reserve, right?
Yeah.
So that's let's say, whatever's being tokenized within the system. Right, and really could be anything. And now with the wider existence of all these other forms of tokens and coins, even if they're created through our system with Accelerator, right, that could be part of the reserve as well. Right.
Gotcha. Yeah.
So it there really is no limitation, and that's really what we're moving towards, is tokenizing everything that we can, right?
Yep.
Even data. But the reserve will just continue to grow through all these different processes, because again, people are utilizing the phone. So there could be a simultaneous coin burning of Axia coin where there's reserve increase, right?
Yeah.
In terms of, well, I'm utilizing this phone, I'm doing things through this phone, I'm paying for my phone, there's a reserve, like people at the bank, right? But the benefit is now your holdings can be enhanced due to, one, this decentralized activity, and two, through this constant burning of the coins with a, you know, potential for the simultaneous increase in the Axia reserve.
Yeah, gotcha. No, I think that answers all of our questions for that one. Do you guys, you know, you spoke a little bit about data. Do you have any notable partners? And, you know, sort of how have you approached partnering with different companies in the industry, and how do you expect those partners to push Axia forward?
That's an interesting question coming from you, Mark.
Yeah. One might say.
Well, I think we have a very special partnership with UBDI, and you know, this is something that we both can be talking about, especially with the long-term vision is there. But from where it came from with Axia, again, we're always just trying to provide value, and that even includes people's time and attention, because right now I feel we are voluntarily giving away this asset, which is our time and attention. And you know, when you look at these, you know, mega companies, you know, whether it's, actually I won't name them in this podcast because everybody knows who they are, that are taking our data and utilizing it for their profit and not shared at all. But remember, Axia is about creating prosperity, right, for people who are participating with us. So we feel, especially as a nonprofit, that that's all should go to that value should be going to the community. And this is a way of doing that. So when people are using our applications, and then it can expand beyond that, they can voluntarily, you know, choose to get rewarded for their time and attention, wherever it may be going. And then working with, you know, UBDI, it's really, I think, a significant enhancement on that.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And I think our time and attention are only becoming more valuable as there is more competition to get in front of us and understand us. And I think it's worth it for people to take that time to start to realize, that that value is theirs to decide who to share it with.
Yeah, exactly. But at least what we're giving people is ownership. So with Axia, it's we're democratizing money, right? Because the individuals and even businesses like participating, they're the ones who are empowered, right? The value is going to them. They're, it's all due to the community. And it's the same thing with data, right? And the great thing about UBDI, it's, I feel, in many ways decentralizing the entire industry in the way of how even the buyers of data can be getting more value out of what they're trying to access as the individuals or corporations are also getting more value at the same time because of that bridge, that portal that has been created. Now there's the opportunity to always ensure that you have 100% on the metrics you're looking for, right? So if we're looking for a certain group of individuals, right, in certain age range, certain region, whatever it may be, and I want them to watch this ad or I want to have information about it because they've volunteered, because they want to be receiving the benefit, the reward. Now they would only get that if they follow through in terms of providing whatever is required, even maybe watching an ad or, filling out a survey or something of that sort. So rather than, again, like the regular companies that are offering the service where there's a hope, oh, if I can get 5%, that would be great. It's always at 100%. And
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, there's so much value, really, in terms of how we can expand on this, working with, yourself and UBDI.
Absolutely. I'm very excited about that. And yeah, 5% if you're lucky. I think Brave is very excited with their, 6% open rate. So it's crazy world.
Well, I mean, again, that's what makes our browser so much more advantageous because there's so many more ways to earn rewards as well.
Absolutely, absolutely. So have you had any, notable investors or people supporting the company that have sort of been particularly helpful? And did these people maybe help you, decide which global regions to start with? Or, were there any other considerations, regulatory or otherwise, that helped you sort of decide where Axie is going to launch and how?
Well, it's interesting that you asked that question because as I mentioned before, this has been such an iterative process, and a lot of it has been due to, I'll describe them as early adopters, maybe rather than investors. And because of their own experience or networks, they obviously, see so much value in, what Axie is doing, and not just in terms of the economic design, but really the positive impact that can come out of it. And it wasn't as much that they wanted to be associated with it because that was important, but it was also how they could really enhance it through their networks. So if you're looking at how we moved into telecommunications, that would be one thing. How we moved into certain regions, and let's say in Asia, or in Europe, or in Africa, or wherever, we've been helped so much along the way by such wonderful people that really want to see us fulfill our potential, our mission of really trying to make things better for people all around the world.
Yeah, that's awesome. And it's great that you found a group of people. There's this industry, you have such a passionate sort of underbelly of people who really believe and understand the problems and are willing to put their money where their mouth is when it comes to solving them. And it's It's pretty inspirational.
Yeah.
If you could, you know, and this is kind of an aside, but, you know, if you could maybe buy one crypto company, or it doesn't have to be crypto either, what would it be?
That's a good question. I don't know if it would necessarily be one company we would be looking to buy, or really have involved with Axie. I mean, there's so many, again, because this is so universal, right?
Yeah.
In terms of the different offerings. But it would be something where, if there are, let's say, communities already in place, the way we look at any partnership is this. Before we would get involved in something, it's like, okay, this is what they're providing as a service or product, you know, again, because we could essentially work with any company. How does Axie bring value to that? And that's always our starting point. So we're looking at what we can do to improve on what's there. How combining these forces together is only going to make the offering that much better. So it becomes superior to whatever that target audience may be for that product or service. And that's how we approach everything. So we've been also been lucky because other, you know, companies have approached us, but we also like to align ourselves with organizations and companies that are also providing what we see as positive impact, right? So we like really environmentally friendly companies and how we can be working with those. We like also innovators in technology and you know, always looking to stay out on the forefront, knowing how important that is, as well as, you know, look again, just speaking about UBDI, how we're essentially taking something and that's already in existence, knowing that, you know, we can create something that makes it so much more valuable for the individual, right? And not allowing everything to go specifically to the few, but now being distributed to the many, which should, because now there are more contributors, more people being productive, more people participating, only create greater prosperity for everyone.
Yeah.
And, you know, that those are the really key things that we look for.
And I would assume it also sort of just helps get the word out and get more people exposed 100%. To Axie as well. Are there sort of other, you know, plans that you have to help get the word out about Axie? I know a lot of people here probably haven't heard of you yet. So, you know, what are your plans to make sure more people know about you guys? And is that something you plan on doing soon or in the future?
Well, I think that is something that we're really going to be looking to promote very, very heavily. We have, I would say, some great partners for that. You know, certain, you know, I'll say even key opinion leaders or influencers or, you know, and, you know, just speaking of us, but also, you know, you astutely said this, is like dealing with larger communities, right?
Yeah.
And with these communities, they also will be able to spread the message and really what Axie is bringing to market and what that they can get out of it for participating, right? So it's something where there is nothing that we won't look into. Again, knowing what our mission is to, you know, spread this what we see as positive impact as much as possible. So whether it's even in traditional media or non-traditional, you know, in all of, like, there's that, but then there's also tying ourselves to different partners in different communities that'll really be an enhancement upon that as well.
Yeah. And ultimately, you know, the best marketing is just a happy customer telling his friends. So
100%. Word of mouth is the way to go, and it's been, you know, proven over time. So that's why, you know, we want to really provide something that is easily differentiated from the market, because the way I see it is, and we've talked about this a lot, is that Axia really wants to stand in contrast to a lot of the things that are currently available. And it's going to be about, you know, having someone, what we want is that for to them to be fully informed, right? Yep. And then once they're in that position, make a decision that's in your best interest. Absolutely. And that we feel so strong and confident in terms of what we're proposing and, you know, what we're, what we really have in market, that the answer, you know, should be pretty obvious for most.
Yeah. So what does success look like for Axia, and what are some of the things coming down the pipeline that you think will get you there?
Well, we have so much. I mean, I spoke a little bit about, you know, the evolvement of the ecosystem and things that are going to be happening, you know, over the next even, you know, 4 to 8 weeks. So there's so much in terms of the availability of the network, the phone, the all of these applications. I mean, it really is never ending and expanding, and especially also with the creation of other tokens that can be involved within the ecosystem. It is something that is just going to continue to grow and build over time and really take on a life of its own. So part of the success is through the idea of a completely decentralized economy, that it's just really expanding and continues to grow just from people all around the world. And the ultimate success to me, and the most rewarding thing to me as the founder, is seeing a growing impact that we're having, creating that positive impact on more and more people. And if that continues to grow around the world, which is really what our aim is, to create that benefit, empower people, change things for the better. And that is the greatest reward for me. That is actually what this is all about for myself. And that, I think, is what is going to be most meaningful to me by far.
Yeah. Awesome. Well,
and,
all
and,
that
and
being
also
said,
so many people on the team. And sorry, Mark, but
no,
it's like
ahead.
Also so many people on the team as well.
Yeah. I've met many of them, and they're all, you know, mission driven, which I love. You can tell they're passionate about it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we're all working towards the same mission of really just trying to change things for the better.
So that all being said, you know, how can people get involved today if they're interested in learning more about Axia or signing up even?
Well, because of all the different entry points, there's so many different ways, but I think that the first would just be to, you know, go to the website, axiacoin.org, and then, you know, learn a little bit more about it. From there, learn about the economics, the ecosystem, and so on and so forth. So it's made very easy, you know, just through simple downloads of applications and things like that. And you're pretty much in.
Awesome. And then just one last bonus question. Are there any other tokens that you hold personally as an investor or that you like?
Well, considering what I just said in terms of educating, you know, the, you know, individuals, or really, I guess, the public at large, and then making a determination in terms of what is in their best interest, the answer would be no. And, you know, when I look at the overall offering of Axia and what's there, the economic design really plays itself up. I mean, I don't know of anything that can offer a better store of value, but also have the utility that Axia can offer, right? So because of this unique economic design, this is really something that's never before seen. And I think it's really understanding where, you know, value is most generated. It's not off our incomes, right? It's what we have, it's what we own. And because, you know, of all of these things within the system, because of the constant reduction of supply and the increase in reserve, you have everything. Like the coin is essentially the fulcrum, right? But you have all of those apps are yours. All of the phone companies, yours. The bank is yours. Everything is yours. And that is ultimately what Axia is giving to people. And at the same time, they're also creating additional value for it through just doing the things they do every day, just using these things like the bank or the phone or the applications, and really just doing their daily transactions as they normally would anyway, right? It just continues to expand and grow. And so when you ask like, what else is out there that can offer this, especially with these kind of economics, I don't think there is really anything out there. So this is my preferred currency.
Well, on that note, thank you so much for stopping by the show, Nick. And thank you all for listening. I encourage you guys to check out axiacoin.org. We'll leave some links in the description so you guys can take a look for yourselves and find out more ways to get involved. Thanks so much for coming on, Nick, and hopefully we'll find a time to do it again.
Yeah, that would be great. It was a total pleasure, Mark. Thank you so much for having me.
Anytime.